Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
Canada. Toronto practitioners gathered at Queen's Park to do the Falun Dafa exercises on September 8th. After the exercises, they took a group photo to include in a mid-autumn festival greeting card to be sent with their gratitude to Master Li Hongzhi, the founder of the Falun Dafa practice. Residents passing by the area were drawn to the peaceful assemblage, and many said the tranquil atmosphere moved them. Some said they hoped to attend the next Falun Dafa 9-day introductory class. Young people from China and Hong Kong said they liked Falun Dafa and supported the practitioners' efforts to expose the persecution in China. Many practitioners expressed their gratitude for the practice. Computer engineer Michael Kui said that after he began practicing Falun Dafa in 1998, he felt an inner joy beyond words. He said, "From the first night I came into contact with Dafa, I felt that Master gave me the best gift in my life. This is something that all the money, status, and abilities in the world cannot buy."
Japan. The 12th International Festa Hiroshima was held in the Higashi Ward Community Cultural Center on September 8th. The event promotes understanding and exchange between people of different nationalities, religions, and ideas through performing arts. Different ethnic groups gave performances, including Japanese dance, Shishimai dance, Satsuma Biwa, Shakuhachi, piano, horsehead fiddle, and Latin dance. Falun Dafa practitioners were invited to participate. They demonstrated the exercises and performed a waist drum dance. The host introduced them, saying, "Falun Dafa has been practiced by 100 million people in over 100 countries around the world since it was introduced in 1992. A practitioner explained the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and the health benefits of practicing Falun Dafa. At the end of the exercise demonstration, practitioners told people where they could learn the exercises online and provided local contact information. Fellow event participant Miss Kono is a teacher of a traditional instrument called the guqin. She heard about the persecution of Falun Dafa 20 years ago and said she was very interested in learning the practice.
Australia. A community-based festival called Red Fest took place in Redlands Coast, 25 minutes from the city of Brisbane, on September 7th and 8th. Falun Dafa practitioners introduced the practice to the local community at the event and exposed its illegal, decades-long persecution by the CCP in China. The festival featured many family-friendly activities, including rock climbing, horse rides, and a variety of foods to enjoy. Many visitors to the Falun Dafa booth supported the end of the persecution in China. Member of Queensland Parliament Mark Robinson said that he agreed with Falun Dafa's principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. He was glad to hear that the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Falun Gong Protection Act earlier this year, which will sanction those involved in the CCP's forced organ harvesting. The bill is now awaiting approval by the U.S. Senate, and if passed, will be signed into law by the President. Robinson said, "Freedom of belief is very important and is protected by the Australian Constitution."
Washington, D.C. Falun Gong practitioners in Washington, D.C. held a press conference at the Cannon Office Building of the U.S. House of Representatives on September 4th, calling for an end to the CCP's forced organ harvesting crimes targeting Falun Gong and other prisoners of conscience. Several U.S. officials, including former Assistant Secretary of State of the United States Robert Destro and U.S. Congressman Gus Bilirakis, condemned this crime. Frank Wolf, who served as a U.S. congressman for 34 years, expressed anger at some mainstream media in the U.S. for avoiding the issue of live organ harvesting in China. After Falun Gong practitioner Pei Ming Cheng recounted his ordeal of non-consensual partial organ harvesting during an August 9th panel discussion, more than 40 English-language media outlets across the world reported on it. Nina Shea, director of religious freedom at the Hudson Institute, thanked Mr. Cheng for his courage to come forward. Think tank experts pointed out that the CCP's organ harvesting is still going on and called for an international investigation.
Spain. Practitioners in the city of Las Palmas in the Canary Islands of southern Spain held an informational event on August 16th where they informed the public about Falun Dafa and the CCP's persecution and held a signature drive for a petition to help end the brutality. A worker from a local radio station named Samir arrived at the practitioner's booth after participating in a political event nearby. When he learned about the illegal trade of organs in China, he said, "This is so shocking. I've never heard of such an evil deed." He said he hoped to do his part to stop the persecution. He gave his contact information to practitioners and promised to interview practitioners on his radio program so they could tell people about the CCP's persecution and forced organ harvesting.
France. Practitioners held an event in Brest on September 7th to tell people about Falun Dafa and how the Chinese Communist Party persecutes the spiritual discipline. They also collected signatures on a petition calling for the CCP's brutality to end. After reading the information on the display boards, passerby Pascal said she disliked the Chinese government. She said, "Do you know the Confucius Institute? It's just a name, but the CCP is behind it. It funds several cultural institutions in Brest, including La Passerelle, Contemporary Art Center, so that they can enter the board of directors. I know Sweden closed all of the Confucius Institutes, and we must take action on this."
New York, U.S. The city of Port Jervis in upstate New York held its annual National Night Out Against Crime event from 5 to 8 p.m. on August 28th. Falun Dafa practitioners hosted three booths at the event. One to introduce Falun Dafa and paper dragon construction, one taught how to fold origami paper lotuses, and the third booth taught the Falun Dafa exercises. The practitioners also debuted a Shaanxi drum performance that night and received warm applause. The National Night Out is an annual community event held across the U.S. to raise public awareness of crime prevention and strengthen the relationship between community residents and the police. This year marks the 16th year Port Jervis has participated. People from three states took part. Visitors enjoyed free food, DJ entertainment, free bicycles, and prizes, games, and children's entertainment, as well as demonstrations and displays of law enforcement, fire departments, and emergency medical services. More than 2,500 people participated in the event.
Japan. Falun Dafa practitioners held a signature collection activity at the Morinomiya Station in Kansai from August 17th to August 22nd. Calling to rescue Falun Dafa practitioner Zhang Yiwen's mother, Wang Guiyan, many people condemned the persecution and signed the petition. Undeterred by oppressive heat, practitioners held up display boards and told passersby about the CCP's crimes, especially the atrocity of harvesting organs from living Falun Dafa practitioners. Many people were touched and immediately signed the petition. They said that they were very concerned and told practitioners to keep up their great efforts. Ever since Jiang's mother was arrested for practicing Falun Dafa, people in Japan and around the world have been calling for the woman's release. Several members of the Japanese parliament attended a practitioner's rally on July 20th, when Jiang attested to her mother's persecution.
Sweden. Practitioners in the city of Gothenburg introduced Falun Dafa to attendees of the Gothenburg's Cultural Festival on August 31st and September 1st. They distributed informational materials, demonstrated the exercises, and explained how the practice benefits mind and body. A Chinese woman was surprised to see many Westerners practicing Falun Dafa. She shared that she was interested in learning the exercises and recognized that what she heard in the past about Falun Dafa was only CCP propaganda and completely different from what she was now seeing. An elderly couple said that they now understand about the persecution that is going on in China. They were glad to hear that group practice is available in Gothenburg year-round, free of charge. They referred to Falun Dafa as priceless.
The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. Ms. Lu Dongshen of Henan Province was a physician and suffered from many ailments until she started to practice Falun Gong. After the Chinese Communist regime started the persecution in 1999, Ms. Lu was repeatedly targeted for not renouncing her faith. She has served one labor camp term of 21 months and three prison sentences totaling 16 years. During all those years, she was often tortured both mentally and physically. In wintertime, while imprisoned, guards stripped her naked and forced her to stand outdoors every day. They also took photos of her and then told others that she had a mental condition. She was unable to care for herself for several months after the torture. In January 2022, while serving her last prison term, she was put in a cell with practitioners who had dire physical conditions from long-term torture. Due to a severe heart condition and high blood pressure, Ms. Lu was released in May the same year, 19 months before she was due for release. Ms. Lu Dongshen unfortunately died just days later.
A district court tried Ms. Zhang, a Beijing resident in her 80s, and sentenced her to 1.5 years for practicing Falun Gong. Due to her mobility issues, she was allowed to serve time outside of prison. At this time, she was mourning the loss of her daughter-in-law, and tragedy again struck her when her son died earlier this year. The local judicial bureau was tasked with monitoring her. They would come to harass her at her home twice a month. Her surviving son was outraged that they'd still harass his mother after the loss of his brother and sister-in-law to the persecution of Falun Gong. Both Mr. Sun Zigang, 61, and his wife, Ms. Wang Xuxia, 58, lost their lives after suffering repeated persecution for their faith in Falun Gong. The couple and Ms. Zhang spent years living away from home to avoid being targeted for their faith. They struggled to make ends meet and also worried about their safety. Mr. Sun and Ms. Wang's health deteriorated as a result. Ms. Wang died in 2021, and her husband passed away this year.
64-year-old Ms. Yang Lai Xiao of Beijing died 5 months after her latest sentence while under house arrest, as her declining physical condition due to long-term persecution had rendered her unfit for detention. The local authorities attempted numerous times to take her back into custody, but she was repeatedly denied admission after failing the required physical examination. The relentless harassment worsened her already frail health, and she eventually succumbed to her conditions. Miss Yang's passing capped the 2 decades of relentless abuse she suffered for upholding her faith. Prior to her latest persecution episode, she was given a combined total of 4 years of forced labor. Her husband, who does not practice Falun Gong, was once implicated for supporting her practice. He was beaten up and sentenced to 6 months in early 2000s for obstructing the police. He was fired from his job at a state-owned enterprise and had to do odd jobs after his prison release.
In August, 3 Jilin Province Falun Gong practitioners were given heavy sentences for their faith. Mr. Su Xufa, in his 60s, was sentenced to 13 years. Ms. Xu Yafen and Ms. Yin Jiying, both in their 70s, received a 12-year sentence each. In 2022, all 3 were arrested by agents from the Changchun City Police Department. The police had monitored the practitioners for more than 6 months before making the arrest. They confiscated Falun Gong books, a portrait of the founder of Falun Gong, and computers, one of which belonged to a child. It wasn't until recently that the 3 practitioners' families learned of the length of their sentences, but they still have not received copies of the verdicts. Prior to their latest sentencing, Ms. Xu and Mr. Su were previously jailed for their faith. Evidence of forced organ harvesting exposed in National Review magazine. The National Review article, Falun Gong Member Whose Organs Were Harvested, Proves China's Guilt, was published on September 11th. It reported on China's state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting and concluded this is pure evil. The article was written by Wesley J. Smith, an author and a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism. Mr. Smith began, "For years, members of Falun Gong have accused China of tissue typing and organ harvesting their fellow practitioners to boost the country's black market and further the Chinese Communist Party's tyrannical suppression of the Falun Gong movement. China has denied the accusation repeatedly, but multiple international studies and exposés have substantiated the brutality with strong circumstantial evidence." The article mentioned a Falun Gong practitioner who said part of both his liver and lung were removed while he was a political prisoner in 2004. The article also quoted a report in the Epoch Times newspaper which cited a press conference on August 9th in which the prisoner of conscience, Chang Paiming, a Falun Gong practitioner, stepped forward after escaping China and recounted his brutal ordeal. He produced reports from respected medical sources that affirmed that part of both his liver and lung were surgically removed. According to the National Review, the Epoch Times report also included photos of Chang's large surgical scar, which seems to confirm his story. The Chinese authorities deny his claim. Instead, they claim Chang was hospitalized for swallowing a nail and a part of a blade in protest while he was imprisoned. To understand the situation, National Review reporter Wesley J. Smith contacted China expert Nina Xie, director of the Hudson Institute's Center for Religious Freedom. The National Review article included Smith's questions and Xie's replies. Reporter Wesley Smith asked, "What makes you trust this report?" Xie replied, "There's no dispute that a Chinese hospital, working in cooperation with the prison system, surgically removed part of his organs without his consent." the security police have admitted each element of this, that he was a prisoner who was hospitalized and was operated on without his consent. I believe that he had medically inexplicable excisions of parts of his lung and liver for testing for future removal and transplantation, or for some other medical experiment. I've seen his scar, the scans of his mutilated organs, and the evaluation by the Australian doctor who reviewed the scans. I also do not take CCP government denials of wrongdoing at face value. Ms. Shea continued, over the past 18 years, I have interviewed many Falun Gong and other Chinese about forced organ harvesting, and I spoke with independent experts about this victim's testimony who corroborated certain key points of his story. Finally, Chinese government authority and leading transplant surgeon Huang Jiefu admitted that China took organs from prisoners for transplantation before 2015, as the State Department Human Rights Reports notes. The reporter asked, how did Zhang escape? Ms. Shea replied, he escaped from the hospital by luck and by dint of his street smarts. He escaped to Thailand and was brought to the U.S. from detention there by U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Robert Destro, who had learned of his perilous situation. He was facing deportation to China. Smith asked, how widespread is the organ harvesting practice in China? Does it go beyond the Falun Gong? Ms. Shea replied, forced organ harvesting is a booming business in China, and according to 12 UN experts on human rights and journalist Ethan Gutman, various religious minorities are targeted for forced organ harvesting, partly because large numbers of these groups, such as the Uyghur Muslims, are in indefinite detention without the due process in China at any given time, and because they are valued for their clean living lifestyles, unlike common criminals. Referring to his interview with China expert Shea, Smith said, this is pure evil. Notice that Ms. Shea uses the present tense when she describes organ harvesting as a booming business. Mr. Smith then raised an essential question. At what point does our treatment of China as a normal country become complicity?
Dignitaries and members of the public praise Falun Dafa and condemn the persecution during events in Austria. People on the streets of Vienna often hear music wherever they go. On August 31st, tourists and locals in the city center heard the Tianguo marching band's majestic music. Falun Dafa practitioners held a parade to introduce the practice to the public and raise awareness of the ongoing decades-long persecution of practitioners in China. A large replica of the main book of Falun Dafa's teachings, titled Zhuan Falun, followed the Tianguo marching band along the parade route. A boat float carried practitioners demonstrating the Falun Dafa exercises. A golden lion and golden dragon danced to the Chinese waist drum team's musical beat. The last section of the parade consisted of cars carrying informative posters introducing Falun Dafa to the public and exposing the CCP's torture of practitioners who refused to renounce their faith, including the harvesting and sale of organs from practitioners. After watching the parade and talking to practitioners, many people signed a petition that demands the CCP end the persecution. Mohammed El Haria is a retired reporter. He interviewed the practitioners at the parade and offered to put the video on his social media platform so that many people can know what's happening in China. He said, I support practitioners. People should know what's happening in China and that so many people are persecuted and slaughtered. A rally also took place in the city of Vienna on August 31st. Its goal was to raise awareness of the communist regime's persecution of Falun Gong. Dr. Gudrun Kugel and Ms. Faika El-Nagashi, both members of Austria's National Council, addressed the rally. Ms. Fika El-Nagashi said in her speech, "We need to make more people aware that the organs they get to prolong their lives are not donated and have nothing to do with voluntary participation. Behind the scenes is the systematic harvesting of organs from people who are detained for political persecution." When interviewed, she said, "Austria can exert political pressure to make these human rights violations in China clearer, more widely known, and stopped." Preceding the day of the rally, on the evening of August 30th, the practitioners held an event on Stevens Square. Music played by the Tianghua Marching Band drew many passers-by to watch and record videos. When night fell, the practitioners sat in silence to commemorate those practitioners who lost their lives in the CCP's 25 years of persecution. Some people joined them to show their support. Among them was National Council member Ms. Petra Baer. She is also a member of the National Council's Human Rights Committee and initiated a motion to urge the Austrian government to amend current laws and codes and to ratify the Council of Europe Convention Against Trafficking in Human Organs. Members of the National Council from three parties were interviewed by Minghui reporters at the vigil, and all expressed their commitment to stop the CCP's forced organ harvesting and persecution.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.